Blog Talk Radio.
Because of who you are.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, because of who you are, I worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just imagine if we go back and just remember where we were, what was happening to us when the Lord found us and saved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so is with the Israelis people, with the people of Israel. Something happened to them because they did something. And the Lord was able to intervene because of an intercessor. And we see that the people of Israel were overcomers in the day. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Today's mystery is the question, how did a bronze snake heal? That's the question. How did a bronze snake heal? Glory be to God. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos of your host, The Way, Truth, and Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio. And you could contact us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. You have your answers. The church will mail you out a beautiful accordion-style type of pamphlet entitled The Tabernacle. And it's a colorful pamphlet. It shows you many things of the tabernacle. It shows you the brazen altar, brazen laver. Hallelujah. The golden lampstand, the altar of incense, the table of shewbread. Hallelujah. And many other things of the tabernacle and the colors and the garments of the high priest. And it will be mailed out to you for free. You don't have to pay for it or anything at all. We will pay the shipping and charges. We will pay it to send it out. Glory be to the Lord. All you need to do is come up with the correct answer. How did the bronze snake heal, or the bronze serpent, how did it heal? That's what we're going to hit today. We're going to go on today, and it's from taken from the Numbers chapter 21. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to give you a little disclaimer, and that is the songs that we play here on Blog Talk Radio. They do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sang the song or were part of the production. And the reason we could use it is because in their CDs or DVDs, they have given us permission to use the songs. Hallelujah. We're using them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you hear them and you like them, I'm sure you'll go out and get them. This is the name of this song is Because of Who You Are. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Because of who you are, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The itinerary for the church is every Sunday at 6 p.m. while we're here, we go with the Bible mystery. We ask a question every Sunday, and if you come up with the correct answer, the church will mail you out the beautiful pamphlet of the tabernacle. So you get acquainted. You could have it in your Bible, and when you somewhere and you're waiting to be attended on, or you could open your Bible, open up the pamphlet, and read about it and learn of the tabernacle. That would help you out a lot as to if you remember Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and one of the first things he did, he went into the temple, into the tabernacle, and he didn't like what they were doing. They were setting the animals for sacrifice, and they were making the house of God a den of thieves. And as we study the book of Isaiah, it says that the tabernacle shall be a house of prayer for all nations. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus told them. How should we call our house a prayer? Glory be to the Lord. And remember one thing. The tabernacle at that time was portable. It was also called the tent of meetings. But you have to bring it forward to today. And we are the temple. The Bible says that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we can allow no type of contamination. We cannot allow no type of compromise to come in to this temple, because the Holy Spirit is here. He will not dwell in an unclean temple. So you need to always keep your temple clean. Don't compromise with sin, and don't allow sin in your life, any corruption come into your life. Don't compromise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because of who you are. So the first thing we're going to talk about is why the serpent, from Numbers 21:5a. Let's read that and we could come away with it. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither there is any water, and I was so loth this light bread. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So they murmur against God. They murmur against Moses. When Moses brought them out of Egypt, after they were prisoners or slaves for 435 years thereabouts, Moses was taking them to the promised land, but they had to make a pit stop first over at Mount Sinai and get the commandments. Because if you remember the interchange between Moses and God, he told Moses, when you bring the people, and that was an answer to Moses' question, how do I know that you, how would the people know, how would I know that you sent me to deliver these people? And God said to Moses, when you come to this mountain, glory be to the God, the mountain of God, Mount Zion. He brought him to Mount Zion to get the commandments. And that was the evidence there that Moses was chosen by God, and he was going to bring forth them out of Egypt. He was going to deliver them. So why the serpent? Why the serpent? Numbers 21:5a, it says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. So, you know, the Lord, if you read, we're going to read the chapter 21, verses 1 through 9 later on. But if you read what happened, he brought them through a mighty long way. Many things occurred to the nation of Israel on the way out of Egypt and on the way to Mount Sinai. Many things happened where God delivered them, and he brought salvation to them, and they murmur against God. If you remember in our studies in Hebrews and in other books, either you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, when your forefathers tested me 10 times in the wilderness. So as we continue to read, you're going to notice that it was accumulation of 10 times that they tested the Lord in the wilderness. Here we have a time where they are complaining that there's no bread and that there's no water. At times, you'll read where their desire to go back to Egypt, because in Egypt they had all those things, but they complained against Moses and against God because he brought them out, and at times they had no bread, they had no water. But if you remember, God gave them manna or bread from heaven, and he also gave them water gushing out of the rock. And Moses got in trouble for that, because the first time he was supposed to strike the rock, which he did, and water came out. The second time he was supposed to speak to the rock, but he was so angry with the people for their complaining that he struck the rock the second time. And God, being a gentleman, he still gave them water. But Moses could not enter into the promised land because he's misrepresenting God. Moses misrepresented God, so he could not enter in. So God chose Joshua to bring in the people from the wilderness into the promised land. And we know that the first city that they conquered was Jericho, and everything there belonged unto God. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So why the serpent? Because the people murmur against God, and they murmur against Moses. There was no bread for them. There was no water. I'm going to read the entirety of verse 5. It says, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore," and this is the question, "wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and I was so loath these light bread." So we understand how they came against Moses, they came against God. You know, they wanted to, it's a fourth generation because they wanted a microwave generation. But maybe the generation now is a microwave generation. Instantaneously, when you want something, you have it. And that's what happened with those people at that time when they were in the wilderness. We read in the scriptures where their clothes and their shoes on their feet did not wear out. God provided. He gave them provisions for them to continue on their journey. All of us go through the wilderness at one time or another, and God always provide for us. He always give us substance so we could go through. He's always before us, and he's always after us. He's always with us. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. Glory be to the Lord. So why the serpents? Because the people murmur against the Lord God, and they murmur against Moses. They came out of Egypt. They were free to celebrate. They celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, where they celebrated the Lord, where they have feast unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So that would have been 21:5a. What was the purpose of the serpents? What was the purpose? Let's read the purpose. We go to Numbers 21:8, and we're going to read 21:8. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looked upon it, shall live." So the purpose is for them to look upon it and live. But it takes something. And the answer to that question, what it takes for that person to live, to look upon the bronze serpent, it's the answer to the question, you know, how did a bronze snake heal? And glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. And when we read the scriptures, we have to be very condescending and looking at the scriptures very carefully and see, because at times the Lord gives us the answers right there. And the answer is right there. Verse 8 again, I read it to you. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent." Fiery, remember, fiery bronze, copper, you know. We see it. If you look at The Chosen, in one of the episodes there's an interchange where it's telling Moses that what Moses is creating was a pagan symbol. And sure enough, what happened was that there was a snake, a bronze snake, bent in a way in which he would hang on the pole. And later on, that became a caduce. And when you look up in the information about the bronze serpent or about the symbol, it says, what is the medical symbol with a snake. Well, you know, I worked for EMS for 23 and a half years, and in the beginning of my career, we used to wear the number of the station that we was at, and also a caduce. And a caduce represented a bronze snake, maybe one or two, depending on the caduce that you bought. And it would be on a pole. And what happened was that in Greece, they used to worship a certain god. And the symbol for that god was the caduce, the snake on a pole. And people would worship it because they knew that if they, in times of the Greek, if they touched it, they would be healed. But it says here, what is the medical symbol with a snake? The caduce is the official insignia of the United States Medical Corps. Hallelujah. And so it is. Anyone who works in the medical field has a symbol or a little plaque, a little image of a caduce somewhere on the uniform. And whoever looks on it knows that that person works in the medical field. And, you know, some people might even think, well, this person could help me if I'm injured or if I'm sick. This person, he knows something about the medical field. And that is called the caduce. And then in John 3:14, talking to Nicodemus, and he tells him, as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so shall it be that the Son of Man will be lifted up. Well, that's what happened. Jesus Christ was lifted up. He was on the cross. He was nailed to the cross, and he was lifted up way high. People would see that he was nailed to the cross. And why it was so significant that Christ will be lifted up, because people that acknowledge what Christ went through and they accepted, they believe, they was and they repented of their sin and accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior, they were saved, they were received. Glory be to the Lord. But something happened. If you remember one incident where it was raining, it was thundering, it was a lot of, there was an earthquake, and the skies became dark, and Jesus cried out in the Aramaic tongue, Eli, Eli, why have that thou hast forsaken me? Well, the Father, who is holy and righteous, doesn't look upon sin. At that time, Jesus became sin for us. In 1 Corinthians 5:23, I believe it is, it says that God made him sin who knew no sin, that we may be the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ became sin. He took upon him the sins of the world. He was whipped. He was punished. You know, his beard was pulled out. He was punched. He was spat upon. He was nailed to the cross. He became that fiery serpent. When he became sin for us, he took our sin upon himself. That's why he uses the body that he had as a sacrifice offering. He became that bronze serpent. He became what the people of Israel dealt with at the time when they were in the wilderness. Now, you might say, but wait a minute, Pastor Carlos, how did Jesus become a snake? How did Jesus become a snake? Well, you know, he said, just like Moses lifted up the bronze serpent up, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And Jesus Christ was lifted up off the ground, and he took upon him our sins. So he became the sacrifice offering. The body became a sacrifice offering for us, and he took upon our sins upon him and made us righteous. And when he did that, you know, in Psalms, in one of the Psalms that David wrote, we see Jesus, and he even repeated it in the Gospels. Jesus said, I'm a worm. Well, that word worm, it talks about a discoloration, and it talks about red a lot. There's a worm that is used, and the liquid that it gives out is used in the curtain in the temple. That's where they get the red curtain from. And sure enough, Jesus said he was like a worm because he gave himself up willingly, and he shed his precious blood for you and I. When they came to Jesus, you know the story. When they came to the two thieves, they hit them in their legs to break their bones and cause them to suffocate to death. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. Jesus had, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he was already dead. So what did the Roman soldiers do? They pierced his side with a spear, and out came blood and water, because he was already dead. His heart was already broken. He became sin. He became that willing worm that gave his life, and the redness represents his blood. Hallelujah. And we're going to go to the next one. It says, what does the serpent represent? And if we go to Revelation 12:9 and Revelation 22, when we read those scriptures, we're going to read about the old serpent, the devil, Satan. So we see what that represents. A serpent represents the agent of the enemy. Just like the serpent was the agent of Satan, of Lucifer at the garden. Remember that the serpent spoke to Eve. He deceived her. And she confesses it. The serpent deceived me. She confesses that the serpent deceived her. And she ate of the fruit that God said, don't eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't specify, you know, the fruit that they took a bite of. A lot of people these days, because, you know, they want to associate it with something that, you know, they associate it with New York. So they say the Big Apple. And you take a bite of the apple and, you know, things happen to you. And that's what they portray. They say that Eve took a bite of the apple and gave to her husband, Adam. But we don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't say what fruit. The only thing that it does say that when they ate the fruit, when they took the bite of the fruit and they knew that they were naked, they covered themselves with the leaves of the tree that was there. What tree was there? What tree did they cover themselves with? There's a fruit that has these large leaves there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And they cover themselves with these leaves, and they make coverings for themselves because they knew that they were naked. That's why God asked them the question, who told you was naked? Did you eat of the fruit that I told you not to eat? You know, and the bottom line is that they were disobedient to the Lord. And that disobedience, because of their sin, carry on to us. Do you know that when people do a mitochondria DNA, it shows that all of us, every one of us on this earth, came from one mother. Mitochondria DNA, each of us have a piece of mitochondria DNA belonging to Eve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we associate ourselves with that. And so what does the serpent represent? It represents evil. It represents evilness. You know, so to some people it represents evil, right? To some others it represents good or healing. That's why the medical society, the medical corp, uses the caduce, you know, on their uniform. People that see the caduce, they know that the person works in the medical field. But how does a bronze serpent heal? That's the question. How does a bronze serpent heal? Or you could, instead of bronze serpent, you could say bronze snake. Same thing. And when we look at Revelations 12, 9, and 22, it talks about Satan. So we see Satan or Lucifer deceiving Eve and deceiving a lot of people in this world, because all he could do is tempt us and cause us to think about things that we want to do because of our sin, causes us to allow our flesh to dominate, allow the world to dominate, you know. And some people are into the black arts, so they are giving over to satanic control. The next question is, what happened to the people who spoke against God and Moses? What happened to the people that spoke against God and Moses? Well, let's go to Numbers 21 and 6 and get the answer there. 21 and 6, it says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel die. So a lot of people who spoke against God and against Moses because there was no bread or water, they died because they were bitten by snakes. Now, we are thinking, you know, there's two type of snakes. We could look at all the snakes in the world. There's two type of snakes. There's the snakes that choke the life out of you, and there's snakes that bite you and poison you and your central nervous system and your cardiac system, and you die from that. So these people were bitten by the snakes. So these people were bitten by snakes that poison the body. And so it is, my brothers and sisters, when you're out there in the world and you allow yourself that the flesh is in control, that the world is in control, you are allowing yourself to walk and function in the area belonging to Lucifer, in the area belonging to the serpent. And what happens when you allow yourself to do that, the snakes bite you. The snakes are not too keen in vision, but they are keen in smelling. When they wiggle their tongue out, they have senses there that smell. Also, they're keen with motion. So they feel the vibration of the ground when you're walking around. So what happened, and they're also very keen sensitive for fleshly desires. You know, when you study the body, we understand that the skin is only 8 layers thick, and they're very thin. When you strip back those 8 layers, everybody looks the same, whether you're black or white, Asian, Caucasian, well, whatever it is. When you pull back on the skin, and I could only tell you from experience, when I went to the morgue and saw the autopsies, when the doctors made certain cuts and pull back the skin underneath, everybody looks the same. And so the top layer of our skin, of the 8 layers, you have the top layer is dead. So when you are flaking, when you are walking around and you're flaking your skin off because the top layer is dead, it alerts the enemy. How does it do that? Well, if you remember when the serpent was cursed, God, in the Bible it says he was cursed to the ground for the rest of his life, and that he will eat dust all the days of his life. Well, the body is made from the dust of the ground, and the top layer is dead. So when you flake off your body, have you ever seen how a snake comes out of their body, or certain other animals, they leave the top layer of their skin behind. It's dead. And so is, we might not exchange our body the way they do, but we're flaking off what we have. And that's what happens. When you take a bath or shower, you know, there is a substance on the water, and you could look down and see it and say, oh my God, I was so dirty. You know, the soap helped me clean my body. But the problem is that when you flake off, and flaking off your skin, for instance, you know that you have a weakness in your body for females, but you're married and you're not supposed to commit adultery. But Jesus said, if you look upon someone to lust after them, you committed adultery already. Right there, you're flaking off your skin, your weakness. And the snakes are attracted to the motion, to the smell of that skin. And they come towards that area. And what happens, eventually they catch up to wherever you are. The enemy will come, and he will bring more temptation. All of a sudden, you know, you know you're married, and all of a sudden that other person that appears to be the type of person that you like comes your way, conversations, and they're very liberal, and you think, oh, you're getting over. But the situation is that the enemy is using them to cause you to sin, to cause you to lose your faith, to cause you to get your eyes off the Lord and unto something else. And that's where you have to be. We have to be very careful, because in 1 John, it tells us we are not supposed to let the flesh, the world, or Satan conquer us. We are supposed to kill the flesh every day. We are not supposed to give in to the temptations of the flesh. We're not supposed to give in to the temptation of Satan. And we're not supposed to give in to the temptations of the world. And so we have to be very careful, you know, where we are, because you might be alone, and that's the work of the enemy. You find yourself alone. You find yourself near somebody who is attracted to you. You are attracted to them. And just because nobody's watching you, you think you could get over the situation. But God is watching. You know, God is watching. And the Holy Spirit is watching. And you have to give an account for every word and deed that you have done. And you give yourself over to this desire, lustful desires. You know, it's you're shaking off, you're flaking off your skin. The enemy is aware of your weakness. He's coming in that direction. And suddenly, boom, you get bitten by the snake, and he injects poison into you. And there you go. You know, the thing that you didn't want to do, you're all doing it. You know, you might talk to someone, and suddenly you find yourself with that person in a place where you shouldn't be. And so we have to be very careful that of our surroundings, because we don't want to get bitten by the snake and cause some sort of neurological misfunction and causes us to give in to the desires, to the lust of the flesh, and we commit sin. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to take a chance and use the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus as a license to sin. We want to live holy. We want to live righteous before God. And we want to do the things that are right. Because the word tells us, Paul writes in Corinthians, look, people are reading us every day. People are reading us. They know whether we're sincere or whether we're just putting on a show or whether we become Christians Sunday, but come Monday, we're somebody else. And we have to be very careful because the enemy does, or maybe you get into a situation where you can't get out of, you make commitments with that other person or with that situation. So, you know, the type of the snake now that comes your way is a type of snake that chokes you to death. You know, you have these gigantic snakes that they bite you, but their body surrounds your lungs. And every time you take a breath, he tightens up upon you and he chokes you to death. And this is, you know, you get yourself into a situation where you don't want to be and you feel like you're losing your life because the situation is choking you. It's not allowing you to move around. You made commitments. Maybe you're with a person who was taking you serious. Maybe they think, okay, this guy is real with me or this girl is real with me and I like them and I'm going to go and make myself available to them and see where we go from there. But in the meantime, you or her are in a committed relationship with your spouse and you allow the enemy to come in and use you and choke you to death because you want to get away from the situation. You don't want your spouse to become aware of what you're doing. And unfortunately, you know, wherever you shed your skin is where the snakes are going to be. And the Bible says your sin will find you out. You're not going to get away because the snakes are there. They're coming for the shedding that you have. They eat the dust, and your body is made out of dust. So wherever you shed, they're there. They want to eat. They're hungry for something. They don't want to have to go out and hunt. If you're available, you make yourself available for the enemy, he's going to, you know, eat your flesh. And that's where your flesh comes into play, where if you allow the lust of the flesh, remember Jesus said that the pleasures of sin is just for a moment. You might be satisfied for a moment, but the consequences that comes afterwards is pitiful. That's why you have to be very careful with the things you do. Yeah. Let's read Numbers 21 from the first verse to the ninth verse. And let's see the story, the whole story as to what occurred as we continue. Let me just share once again. You could invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. You could contact us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. You can call us with your comment, questions, or testimonies, or if you have an answer to the question, how did a bronze heal, or how did a bronze serpent heal? And we take it from Numbers chapter 21. And when we read the book of Hebrews, it talks about these things happen to Israel as an example for us, so we don't fall, we don't do likewise. So here we have the people being bitten by snakes because they murmur against Moses, they murmur against God, and God allowed these serpents to come and bite them, and a lot of them die because they did that which was not right. But those that did what God told them to do, they survived, they lived. Let's read the whole thing from Numbers 21. It says, and when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, that he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and deliver up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Horah by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loath this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. So we see how now they're confessing their sin. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. So they went to the intercessor. Moses was not involved with their sinful ways, but he was their intercessor. They came sincerely unto him and confessed of their sins. And Moses made a serpent of brass. Let's start again. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make there thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we see how God delivered them from the Canaanites. They were champions in that area. They were able to be successful in that area. However, after they became successful, they began to murmur against their intercessor. They began to murmur against their God. They forgot that it was God who caused them to be successful in the first place. They forgot that Moses spoke on their behalf in the first place. So they came against who was helping them. It's like you have a mentor and the Lord is helping you grow spiritually. And the Lord is using this mentor to help you understand what some of the scriptures are saying, how you could apply it to your life so you don't make the same mistakes as people who committed these mistakes in the past. And so we receive that by faith and say, Lord, thank you. But what happens is now, because didn't seem to be going the right way, you know, your mentor suggests something to you and suddenly you want to do the opposite of what your mentor says. And your mentor is trying to guide you and direct you in the way that you should go because, you know, maybe you was victorious in one area, but there is another area where you need to work on because you're not victorious at the time. You're having a problem. And sure enough, you know, you get angry, you get despondent, and you don't even call your mentor in weeks at a time. You know, and tell him or her what is going on. And so what happens is you get into trouble because now you have done things your way. And you get into trouble, suddenly you remember you have a mentor. You have somebody who has gone through this and has advice for you. And you reach out to that mentor and you explain to the mentor what happened. And the mentor, being mature, doesn't bring an argument between you and that person, between him or her and you. He doesn't. He hears you out. You know, he tells you, or she tells you, what would have been the better choice, so you don't get into that problem. You know, then they give you a suggestion as to what you need to do now. And most of the time, my brothers and sisters, we need to repent. We have chosen the wrong way. We have sinned against God. Like the Israelites murmur against Moses and against God, and they sin against God, and God allowed a problem to occur to draw them back unto himself. And same thing with us. You know, we think we got it made because we have victory in one area, and suddenly we want to do things our way, and forgetting that, listen, we got victory only because we did it God's way. But now that we have troubles, we want to seek out a solution for our problem. What we forget at times, my brothers and sisters, is, you know, Jesus said, what you man sows, that's how what he reaps. And so what happens is, if you have committed a sin and you've broken the commandments of God, you have to give an account for what you have done. It's not going to be forgotten just because you repented and because you asked for forgiveness. Yes, you know, God forgives you because of your repentance, because of your asking for forgiveness. God will forgive you. But guess what? You have sown a seed. And you know, what fruit that seed brings going to be your consequence for that time. Now, you know, you might think, well, nothing is happening. You know, you have to remember one thing, that a seed, when it's planted, the first thing, it must die. Then it's germinated, and then it begins to spread the roots, and, you know, and then it begins to grow. And so is with us. You know, sometimes we do certain things and nothing happens for a while, and we think, oh, we got over. No. There's going to come a time where sin will find you out. There's going to come a time where you have to answer for what you have done. There's going to come a time where you're going to need to repent. You're going to need to ask for forgiveness. And you're going to need to make things right with God. Because God says he's coming for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. So we can have these wrinkles, these spots in our garment, because the day that the Lord comes to rescue us, we want to be prepared. We want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We don't want to say, oh, wait, I got to do this first. I got to do that first. No, just like you had 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish persons, you know, they fell asleep. And then when it was time, when the call came out that the bridegroom was coming, they needed oil in the lamps. And they wanted the 5 wise virgins to give them some oil. But the 5 wise virgins said, not so, because then, you know, what's going to happen to us? So the 5 wise virgins recommended that the 5 foolish virgins go out and buy some oil. But it was midnight. Who's going to be available at that time for you to go to buy some oil for your lamps? And by the time that they came back, the bridegroom came and took the five wise virgins, closed the door, went out, and they went to the marriage feast. They went to consummate their marriage. And the five foolish virgins was left behind. You don't want to be left behind, my brothers and sisters, and have to deal with the period of the tribulation. You want to be able to answer the call when Christ comes. It says in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up together in the air with them. Paul says that there's in a twinkling of an eye we shall be changed. This mortal must put on immortality. This carnal must put on incarnality. We're going to have a body just like his. We're going to recognize Christ because we're going to be just like him. People who have gone to sleep before we was resurrected, or if we went to sleep when we get resurrected, we have a changed body, or when we don't see sleep and we are caught up and changed, we're going to have a glorified body, and we're going to be with the Lord forever, and he's going to take us to his Father's house, and we're going to come back with him to rescue Israel. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't let the things of the world, the things of the flesh, the things of Satan to overtake you and cause you to go against the desires, the instructions, the wishes of God and of your leader. Remember, the Bible says that those that are your leaders are there to watch over you, to make sure that you make it in. They have a great responsibility. So you should pray for your pastor. You should pray for your mentor, because they have a great responsibility for you. And you don't want to give in to the desires of the flesh. You don't want to give in to the desires of Satan. You don't want to give in to the desires of the world. These three things come against you at one time or another. You have to be very careful. When you wake up in the morning, you commit your ways unto God and tell and ask him for discernment. So you'll be able to discern what's going on in your life during the day. That way, when anything comes your way that is not of God, you could discern that it's of the evil and you don't participate in it. Hallelujah. We're going to be coming to the end of the program. And I just want to say once again that every Sunday we're here at 6 o'clock for the Bible Mysteries. We ask a question, and if you come up with the answer, you'll get a beautiful pamphlet from the church. The one that we have now is a tabernacle. It's an accordion-type colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. On Tuesdays at 3 o'clock in the morning, we have intercessory prayer. And on Thursdays, we have Bible study at 6 p.m., and we're studying what's next. What's next in the Christian life? What's next to the church? And what's next is something that's going to occur that doesn't need no signs at all before it happens, and that is the rapture of the church. So we're talking about the rapture of the church, pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. That's what we're going to be speaking about on Thursday when it comes again. And our next question for next Sunday is going to be, why couldn't a sorcerer curse Israel? Why couldn't a sorcerer curse Israel? That's our next Bible mystery for next Sunday. So I pray that the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. Until next Sunday at 6 p.m., well, where the Way, Truth, and Life Tabernacle will be back on Blog Talk Radio with the Bible Mystery. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.